Amen. Well, that was good. I got to sing a lot there and sing loud, and it was neat just to remember all the things God's done and all the things he's planning on doing. And it's really cool just to think back at 2020. We're kind of on the other side of Christmas now, and we're almost on the other side of 2020, about to enter 2021, and it's amazing just think like that we're here. I remember just a short time ago, it was January, and you were getting wind of some weird virus that was happening over in China, and everybody was beginning to kind of freak out, and then just to know what's transpired since, and that God's got us here, and we're all here a year later. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. So welcome. How was Christmas for everybody? Was it good? Yeah? Yeah, like happy? Like it was a good time? Yeah, wonderful? Yeah, that's good, man. Cool. Good. Anybody get anything they wanted to get? Gifts? Those kind of things? You get some stuff you wanted? Cool, cool. Anybody celebrate Jesus during that time? Yeah. It was good. I hope we did that. It was a neat time for us too. Welcome live stream guests. We're glad you're here, and we're pumped that you're learning with us still in 2020, and we're thankful for you guys. And it's, yeah, like I said, it's just neat to be on the other side. As you get past Christmas, I always look forward to around New Year. I look forward to New Year's for a lot of reasons. I like the changing of the year. It represents like a new beginning, a new start, kind of like, okay, like wipe the slate clean, let's begin again kind of deal. I love that. I love the idea that soon I'm going to be putting up all the Christmas things that are all over my house, taking up space, and putting them back in their storage containers till next year. I'm excited about that, being able to like kind of clean up and get organized and get ready for a new year. And I'm kind of pumped about that. But then it's neat too, just kind of remember. So like on my email, And on my social media feeds and on Spotify, I'm getting all of these like, hey, let's look back at the year. Like these were the trends for the year. These were the things that, you know, this is the way you spent your time this year. this was your average screen time this year for the year. And these are the things you looked at. And these were your most visited websites. And these were the on Spotify, the most played songs. On ours, it was Burning House by Cam. And that song's a song that our little boy loves and he goes to sleep to. And we put it on repeat every night, all night long, so that he can stay asleep and not come wake us up. And so that was our most played song this year. and it just represents our goal of getting rest this year, you know, playing that song for Wilder, who wants to jump up and mess with us in the middle of the night. But I don't know what your song was, but that was ours. And it was kind of funny just to realize that that was the one that was the most played song for us. And so I've been seeing all these articles and things. Hey, so like Google puts out statistics for the year. I thought we'd like to hear about what Google put out, because Google represents what we do in our free time, right? So like we have free time, we get on, we surf the web, and we search things. This represents what's on our mind. This represents the things we're thinking about as a society. Maybe not you guys, but maybe these things will represent. Okay, top searches for 2020. Anyone to guess? It's close. Election results. That was the top search in all of 2020. So like, man, that's a lot of searching right there around the election. Coronavirus. Number two, Kobe Bryant. Number three, Kobe Bryant. Number three, coronavirus updates. Number four, coronavirus symptoms. Number five, Zoom. What is Zoom? How to use Zoom? Anything to do with Zoom was number six. Who's winning the election? So not the results, but like the process of the elections. That was number seven. Naya Rivera. Anybody know that person? I don't know that person. Chadwick Boseman, the guy at Black Panther. Actor, that was number nine, most searched. And then PlayStation 5, number 10. So people love video games. They were excited about that coming out. So individual categories, let's talk about just quickly. News. Number one, elections results. Number two, coronavirus. Number three, stimulus checks. We're excited about that. Number four, unemployment. What does it rank? And then number five, Iran. All the craziness going over. Sees number one actor search for Tom Hanks because of coronavirus, because people were worried about that he was going to die when he had it, because he was the first actor that got it. People, number one, people just in general. Joe Biden was the top search. Kim Jong-un, so he was number two, the dictator over in North Korea. Kamala Harris, number three. Jacob Blake, of course, because of the riots and everything. And then Ryan Newman. Babies, search for babies, just general, not baby names, babies. Elon Musk's baby was the top searched baby on the planet and for Google. A baby platypus was a big deal. Ice Age baby was a big search. Anderson Cooper baby and baby nut. And top athlete, Ryan Newman. Top definitions, I'm not going to say the number one. It's a terrible thing that people wanted to understand that was part of a terrible hip-hop song that was popular for a little while. That was the top search definition. Entanglement, antebellum, pandemic. People wanted to understand what pandemic meant, and asymptomatic. And big things people searched for, how to make hand sanitizer, how to make a face mask with fabric, how to make whipped coffee, okay, number three, because people can get their Starbucks fix as much as they wanted to, how to make a mask with a bandana, and how to make a mask with sewing, the top five, all to do with masks, four of them were there. Movies, Parasite was the number one movie, and I was expecting it to be some sort of pandemic movie, honestly, but it wasn't. Near me searches, COVID testing near me, early voting near me, fires near me because of the forest fires going on in California, voting near me, and protests near me. And then politicians, you guessed it, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, they're top. Surprisingly, not Trump. He wasn't on the top five. Sports teams, Boston Celtics were number one. TV shows, Tiger King. Anybody seen that? I haven't seen it, so evidently it's big. 2020 top restaurants, McDonald's, number one. Starbucks, number two. Chick-fil-A, number three. That's pretty cool. I used to work there. Taco Bell, number four. I was surprised by that. And then number five, really surprising, because my wife hates it, Burger King. Burger King, number five. And top baby names, anybody want to guess? Nope, not even close. So, for a boy, Liam. Liam and Sophia. Sophia is 12 years running, the top girl name. I don't know. Yeah, that's what it said. And then, really depressing, six of the 2020 top music tracks on Spotify were all songs with really explicit lyrics. So, six of the top 10 of 2020, like terrible songs. So, that's where we're going. So it's kind of weird to think about all the things that people search for and that we thought about. And a lot of those things represent things I search for, honestly. I was trying to figure out how to make some masks and where to get tested and to do all those things. And sometimes we can get so focused on all of the craziness that happened throughout the year, because this year was crazy. We can forget to, as Harrison said, remember all of the really cool things God did. And so I just wanted to take a time this today to not really teach through a passage of scripture, but just kind of give you like a fire hose recap of what we did this year. Because it's neat to think about how God just protected us and prepared us going into 2020 for the things that would happen. And the scripture that he sovereignly had us learn and focus on, and so we're gonna do it. So if you guys weren't here for throughout the year, a lot of you, you're gonna like get caught up, right? Like you have a chance to get caught up, and for those of you that were, you're gonna remember some things that God taught you along the way through His Word, and hopefully it will lead to an ending of just worshiping God and thanking Him for how He prepared us and how He grew us and how He taught us throughout 2020, and really remembering what He did. So I remember we started our 2020 with some retro series kind of things that I've taught in the past that I wanted to start out the year with. We started the first one with Planted by Waters, and it was a challenge from Psalms 1 for us to be people that would plant ourselves by the river of water of God's word, right? And to be people that just really wanted to meditate and hunger and thirst for the word of God. And it was a challenge that I just felt like anytime you begin a new year and you're starting over and you're doing something new, you gotta have a proper foundation. You gotta have a foundation that's gonna lead to growth and encouragement and lead to everything that God wants for you. And we know that Psalm 1 says that the key difference between the blessed man and the wicked man in Psalm 1, the key difference between someone whose works wither away and to a person on the other side who bears fruit when it's fruit-bearing season is the person meditates on the law of the Lord day and night, okay? Wicked people don't do that, but blessed people, according to God's word, do. And so we just really wanted to be people that focused on that and grew in that. And then the next week, we studied from Don't Feed the Bears. It was Hebrews 5 and 6. And it was just this call for us to grow up in our faith and to be people that moved away from just the milk of the word, the basics, the things that we've known our whole life and the things that we've heard given to us our whole life, and to move to people that say, hey, we want to grow in our faith. We don't want to just stay where we're at. We want to grow up. We want to take steps. And we want to be people that hunger for the meat of the word. And we're people not just that know how to receive it, but we're people that can go after it and study and hunt for ourselves and grow. And so gratefully, God's allowed us to do some of those things. So we started in January with our Wednesday Corporate Equip, our Just Do Something series. And I was pumped how Tim led us through a book on Christian decision making and how we could see that God's word is sufficient for everything that we've been called to do. Okay, so we know that 2 Timothy says that God's word is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, that a man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, and that it has an answer for everything that we're called to. All right, it's sufficient for everything we go through, including making decisions. And the Bible has a ton to say about decision making that we learn. And God's will is not a mystical secret thing that's coded and hiding from us. God's revealed it. And I remember Harrison with the eight ball, for those of you who were there, and he was like, you know, trying to figure out God's will, and he was like doing the magic eight ball and trying to figure out what the eight ball said, and then going with that secret code that the eight ball gave, and how that was a ludicrous thought for all of us to use a magic eight ball to pick what we're going to do to walk in God's will. But yet, so often, we don't go to the source of wisdom, God's word. We don't scour it, and we don't go to people that really know God's word and show us how that applies to our life. Instead, we look for secret codes and secret signs and feelings and intuitions and all these things that can really lead us astray if it's not grounded in truth. And so it's been neat to see us grow in decision-making and learning to look to God's word first for those answers in our life, okay? Then January 19th, we started The God of All Comfort, and it was a series through 2 Corinthians. And I just want to tell you guys, I don't know if you've thought of this, I've told Tim and Harrison this many times, knowing the kind of year that 2020 would be, I'm so thankful that God is sovereign, he's in control, and nothing catches him off guard. Because we prayerfully considered what to study. And one of the things God just, I felt like, kept putting on my heart, and something that I really wanted us to go through as a church with this idea of growing and maturing in the faith, was 2 Corinthians. And it's a book that I've always been scared to approach because it's a hard book to teach. But it's amazing to think about all of the things God's had us learn. And just even at the beginning of the year, starting off, preparing for 2020, listen to what we talked about right before COVID happened, all right? 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction. In all of our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, is for your comfort and salvation. If you're comforted is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you also share in our comfort. Pretty cool passage going in to 2020 that God had us learn and grow and know and prepare a foundation for experiencing affliction and trials and tribulations on the outside through the whole world, the same things the world faced on the inside when it came to conflict in the church, when it came to conflict in the American church, and just in our own homes and all the things that we know that we went through this year. God was preparing a foundation with these promises. And God's promise in the middle of affliction, his promise and assurance is that when times get hard, he's going to comfort us. And that was kind of a theme that ran throughout all of 2 Corinthians that we kept coming back to, this idea of like in the middle of it, we find comfort in God. And God's the answer, and he's the source of comfort. We often look to God, to other things, to our own gods that we've built up, whether it's ourself and our own intellect, or it's our own things that we find comfort in, that we look to over God, like insurance and job security and financial means and possessions and alarm systems in our homes and just all of the things that we look to for comfort. All of which aren't bad to have, by the way. I'm not speaking against them. I'm just saying we look to them first for comfort, or we look to other people to vent our frustrations when times go hard instead of looking to God first, right? But God says he's the source of comfort. Any kind of comfort that we can find in this world comes from him. He has it in his hand, and it's available through him, okay? And he comforts us through many ways, through being our Father, through the blood of Jesus, which we sang about, and through the Holy Spirit that is within us, that he places within us, that allows us to know God's word, allows us to understand truth, that purifies us and sanctifies us from sin. All of these ways he comforts us, and ultimately through his word, which is revealed to us, the depths of God, the depths of his heart and his nature. The Spirit searches the depths of God so that we can know how to be what God's called us to be. He's comforted us in every way. He's the source of it. And we've learned that this year. I feel like I've talked to so many of you who've gone through different situations. And in the midst of trials, it's hard sometimes to remember we need to go to God first, but we've been spurring each other on and growing. And you guys could all give a testimony of how God in the middle of this has been your source of comfort, and how you've learned to look to him more and more than you ever have in your life because of the trials that we're all going through together, right? Amen? Is that true, what I'm saying? Okay, good. God's two purposes for trials and affliction is our life. Number one, for us to know him better. He says that right there, who comforts us in all of our affliction. God wants to have a relationship with us that's constant and significant, and the most pursued thing in our life, the most pursued relationship. He wants to have it, and he uses trials to get us to a place where we see we need him and we need to turn to him. And then he allows us to know him fully through these things. And through being afflicted, we get to share in the sufferings of Christ. We get to share in who he is. Okay, if we didn't have to suffer, we wouldn't have to, the need of comfort. And God says, I want you to know this aspect of me, this key intimate aspect to having a full relationship with me. I want you to have it. I'm gonna allow you to go through things, and I'm gonna be your source and sustainer. I'm gonna comfort you. And you need to go through these things, these trials and tribulations, before you can be comforted. And He allows us to know him, and then he has another purpose. Not just that we would know him better and fully, but that we would share that same comfort with others. Right? He says, for as you share, you do it so that you may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, the same comfort that I comfort you. He's like, he has somebody else in mind when we go through the things we go through. It's not just for us. There's somebody else in mind that God wants to spread his comfort to, and he's going to put us in a path to do it. And we've got a chance to do that this year. With one of the messages we talked about in that part of the series was, don't waste your trial. Because so often we can get so focused on ourselves in the middle of hard times. We get inward focus. We get focused on solving the problems. We get focused on getting through everything. That we don't always turn to God like we should. But even if we turn to God, we often miss the opportunities that he's orchestrating in our life to spread this comfort to others. And so what God's doing in the middle of trials, we've learned, is that he's growing in us the ability to share an experience with someone else later. There's something that God's equipped you for in 2020 that you're going to strategically be able to, like very explicitly help someone else going through the same issue that you've gone through this year. God's comforted you in the middle of this year in very specific ways that is going to reverberate for the rest of your life until you go to heaven. And you're going to strategically be able to use and place in others. And our job is to be people that have our eyes open and our ears available and listening for the opportunities God wants to bring to use all of the ways he's comforted us in the future. And so there's a hope for all of these things, to be salt and light to others in the future. Then February 2020, we went into a prayer series, a prayer in the age of social media, okay? And so it's very pertinent that Paul wanted to talk about this in the middle of comfort, because God says, you know, we have to learn to rely on God in the middle of these things, that these trials happened, they afflicted, so that we would learn not to rely on ourselves, but on God who raises us from the dead. And how we as Christians rely on not ourselves, but on God is we turn to God in prayer. We learned last year in Philippians that the first response to anxiety should always be prayer, okay? And when you're anxious, it's an indicator that you lack prayer in your life that you should have. You lack the communication with God that you should be having. So first response to anxiety and pressure should always be prayer. And Paul had us go through it. And we learned that God's word has a lot to say about the way we pray, and that we would be a lot better off if we moved away from looking to comfort in our social media posts, likes, enlisting prayer support. A lot of us find comfort in those things. Like if I can get everybody to like my post about praying for me, or if somebody liked my GroupMe message, then God's going to be more available to pray, to answer my prayer request and come through. You know, if I can get a lot of numbers and a lot of likes, to move away from that mindset and finding our comfort in that, and to start looking for comfort in the way that Paul prayed. Okay, the content of Paul's prayer was less about health, wealth, and prosperity, and more about the mission, spiritual growth of others and ourselves, and ultimately God's glory. And so hopefully I've grown in this way this year, just praying prayers that are different, praying prayers that are less about the here and now and more about the eternal, right? And less about getting something from God and more about, God, how can I be glorifying to you? How can I use my life and leverage my life for you, right? And Paul prayed things like this. He thanked God for each one of his people. He was constantly thanking God for the people in his life. Instead of saying, God, give me more, give me less, why'd you take this away? He thanked God for what he had given. Paul prayed not only for his people, thanking them, but for their wisdom and knowledge, that others would grow in the wisdom and knowledge of God, that others would be full of hope, that others would live in peace and unity. Paul prayed that his people would be strengthened with spiritual power, and that his church families would grow in righteousness and purity. He prayed that his church family would grow in love for others, and prayed for opportunities just to serve and minister to his church family. And he prayed that his church family would overflow with praise and thanks to God. Okay? His prayers were different. Those are the ways Paul prayed. And then we learned that God called us not just to be like, well, that's good, Paul did that, that's great, but to imitate the prayer life of Paul. And it's amazing how, when you start imitating the prayer life of Paul, how anxiety for your circumstance and your struggle goes away because you become others-focused. You become a person that doesn't just sit around moping about their life. You become a person that gets up off your butt to live out the prayers that God gave you to pray, right? So God, give me an opportunity to serve my church family. And it's amazing what God does. He says, yes, that's the prayer I want to answer. Here it is. Here's an opportunity. And the more we take those opportunities, the more God allows us to take steps away from anxiety and the pressure of 2020 and walk in what he's called us to do. And I'm praying that those prayers will be reflected in 2021. It wasn't just the 2020 thing, right? Because that'll change some lives, not just our own, but some others. And God will be really glorified through that. These types of prayers are the ones we needed to be able to sustain ourselves through the rest of 2020, which felt a lot like the section we were learning at the time in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And he says it right here in verse 9 of chapter 1 and verse 8. We don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of our affliction that took place in Asia. We are completely overwhelmed beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life itself. Indeed, we felt like we received the sentence of death, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. He's delivered us from such a terrible death, and he will deliver us. We have put our hope in him that he will deliver us again. While you join in helping us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on the behalf for the gift that came through the prayers of many. Right? So he flipped from this. We thought we felt received the sentence of death. We felt like we had to a prayer that was focused on others being thankful for what God would do in the middle of the circumstance. And that's what tonight's all about too. Okay? And this was perfect timing for me. I don't know about if it was for you. I remember being in March of 2020, and you start getting word that this pandemic that everybody was just kind of blowing off in America was actually becoming something that we needed to think about. And then you go to the stores, and there's no toilet paper and paper towels on the shelves and cleaning supplies and gloves. And it was just a weird moment. It was a weird moment that I'd never really experienced in my life, just facing the fact that there was a lot of unknown, there's a lot of uncertainty with this virus. You know, what they're saying is true, millions of people are going to die. Millions and millions of people, just in America, like hundreds of millions of people were predicted to die just in America from this. And it affected everybody, right? It wasn't just the old, it was all different spectrum until they started getting the statistics. And it was just one of those things that you had to go through and you had to face as a Christian and say, hey, what would glorify God the most? But I remember laying in bed at night thinking, man, like every time my wife did a little cough in her sleep, well, did she have coronavirus? You know, like I was waking up, I drove her crazy, right? I drove her crazy. She was like, man, you're really worried about this. But I didn't realize how much it was. And I thought about my sons who had breathing problems and it was just a hard time. But what kept me going through it all was the promise of God's word that he causes us to rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead, that God's for us in the middle of these times. And also, I need to be praying prayers that are not just about, please don't let my family catch the coronavirus and die from it, but God, prepare us to be glorifying to you no matter what happens. You give and you take away, Lord. You're sovereign over all, but you can be magnified in my life through the way I live in the meantime, all right? I can't control what's happening, but I can control my response in the moment. And that was freeing. And that was something that over time just freed me and my family to be able to continue to do the mission, right? And to actually leave our doors and go outside and think about others, right? In March, we began Loving People Can Get Messy in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2, and it carried through May. And it was really, I think it was really important. We learned that kind of the backstory of Paul's ministry to the Corinthians and how it was just steeped with conflict. We know that his first letter to the Corinthian church was all about this church that had just come to believe in Jesus. They had just been established, and they were bringing their pagan ways into their worship of God for the next year and a half of Paul's ministry there. Okay, and so Paul stuck around and he discipled them, and then he heard about how they were not following the traditions of the faith that had been established in the first century church. They were kind of trying to bring in some of their pagan beliefs and all those things. And then Paul, being a loving father in the faith to them, rebuked them and said, "Hey, we need to turn away from some of these things. We need to give up these idols. We need to give up these ways of thinking. We need to get licentious living out of the church. We need to get sexual immorality out of the church. We need to turn from these things that we're bringing into our faith." And as he confronted, people had problems with it, right? And so not only was Paul experiencing affliction on the outside of the church, he was constantly being given over to the death in places like Asia and other places around Europe, and everywhere he went on his missionary journeys, he was a messed up looking dude because of all the affliction he had faced and the trials and tribulation. But he had that going on the outside, but then he also had conflict with the people that were supposed to love him, right? The people that were supposed to be thankful that he had poured into them. And then there was false teachers, super apostles, that had come along, and they were trying to contend against Paul for his people that he had grown in the faith. And they were causing the people of Corinth to question Paul's character and his motives and all of the things that Paul was about. And so we learned all about that and how Paul, through it all, love those people, even when it got messy. When trials and tribulations come in life from the outside, what inevitably will happen is that you will have conflict with the relationships with people in your life, right? And it always follows. Like when I'm in a grumpy mood, I get in fights with people around me. I don't know about you. Do you? I do, because I'm not right with God like I should be. And when I'm not right with God because of the circumstance, I take it out on other people. Well, that's how people are, right? And so that's exactly what was happening in the Corinthian church. There was trials and tribulation all around the church, and people, instead of sticking together, started turning on one another, especially Paul, who was leading them into these trials because he wanted to follow Jesus at all costs, right? And so they had tribulation. And so Paul showed us how to love people through. We learned about healthy biblical confrontation and that Christians should be people that love others too much to not confront them in their sin. Okay? So the most loving and patient thing to do is to not to ignore people that are in the middle of heinous sin against God and just kind of pretend like it's not happening. No, we're to be people that confront in a loving, merciful, kind, biblical way. We're to be people that say, "I love you too much to let you sit there in your mess," right? And that's what Paul did. Very specifically, in the Corinthian church, he confronted a guy who was sleeping with his mother-in-law. And he confronted her, and they did a whole church discipline process. And we saw in chapter 2 how the church discipline process, as God and Jesus spell out in Matthew, really led to reconciliation, and that the goal of church discipline is never condemnation, but it's always reconciliation, being restored back to a right walking together relationship. Reconciliation isn't that, oh, we're just okay with seeing each other, but we never want to be around each other again. That's not true biblical reconciliation. That's the opposite. True biblical reconciliation is, I want to be in your life, we're going to walk together, we're going to do this thing together. We love each other. We're going to talk to each other. We're in this. And you know, I'm not just going to see you one day in heaven because I'm pretty frustrated with you right now. That's not true biblical reconciliation, right? And we saw how the church discipline process really led to that, brother who was in sin being restored back to a relationship with the church where he was loved and he was back just like things were. In fact, even better than before. They were stronger because of that process that God allowed them to go through, because people were willing to step up and do what God called them to do even when it got hard, okay? And what they did is they affirmed their love for him, and they outwitted Satan and his schemes, because Paul says, for we are not ignorant of his designs. His design through conflict is to split us apart, tear us apart, and for us to have an unrestored relationship. And we saw that happen in our country this year, didn't we? It was right about the same time we were learning this. We had just talked about healthy biblical confrontation, and all of a sudden, racial riots, right? Racial protests that became riots, that became enmity in our country. People talking about using the word reconciliation when that wasn't the goal. It looked the opposite of what we learned about. Instead of relationship, we saw violence and looting. Instead of healthy confrontation, we saw argument and defamation. Instead of people being brought back together, reconciled, we saw enmity, further divide, fear, and anger that still exists today. It's still going on today. And we as Christians have to run from that stuff to a healthy way. We've got to practice loving people when it gets messy. And I'm so thankful God gave us his word to protect us in those moments, to know how to confront those things, those issues, and things that inevitably came up even in our own church, and just getting the ability to honor God, even though it didn't always end up the way we wanted it to end up, okay? So in April, we had to endure, for many of us, our first ever Easter gathering, where the whole world, including the church, was shut down from gathering live for Easter. I've never experienced that before. I don't think you guys have either, where it was forbidden in our country for us to gather for 2 months. And just so happened that we couldn't do it at Easter. It's amazing how Satan's schemes work, right? The biggest Super Bowl holiday of Christendom was shut down, especially in America. And it was hard, and it was kind of like a anti-title that we had, that we had already planned, together with you in Christ, because we weren't together that day physically. We were doing the live stream thing on Facebook and like thumbs up in each other. But God was there with us, and he knew our hearts, and we tried our best. We had to scramble together to figure out ways to accomplish live streaming when we had never done it before. And I'm just thankful for all of you guys. So the band members and the tech team and all the people, Tim, who got on Zoom and taught us on Zoom, man, and taught us on our Wednesday nights instead of gathering here, and just all the things that we had to, all the hoops we had to jump through as a group. And you guys just banded together and we did it, and God's been glorified, and we started a little live stream ministry that is still carrying on, where people are learning about God's word. And we never would have done that if we hadn't have had to. And I wish looking back that we hadn't done what we did, but God was in it, and he's used it, and he works in spite of it, and it's pretty cool. God strengthened us together as he promises he will, even when the whole world is colluding to tear us apart. 2 Corinthians 1:21-22 says, now as God who strengthens us together with you in Christ, and who has anointed us and has put his seal on us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee, a down payment. It was pretty cool how he grew us together in spite of everything. And then we decided, you know what? Well, we can't come together in person right now because we don't think it's the wisest thing to do. So the girls got together and did a hunting exchange, we called it, where they wanted to take up the challenge from the beginning of the year to say, hey, let's be people that really know the word of God for ourselves. And they learned how to do inductive Bible study and circle words in scripture, the repeating words, and find the themes and really grow in those things. And they did the precept upon precept study from the book of Ruth. They wanted to be women that knew how to do the meat of the word, not just the milk, right? And that was amazing to see my wife's growth, that, and see all the ladies getting together. I walk in and they would have their Zoom meetings, and oh, my bad, yeah, they're doing their thing, and And then Wilder would bust up in there sometimes and hang out with the girls, and they kept going. It was pretty cool. And we had other ladies come that weren't part of our church and come want to be a part of the study. They got to grow and learning God's word for themselves, not just hearing it from others, right? June 2020, we started exchange groups. That was cool. And we got tired of not meeting, right? And so we're like, let's do it in the most intimate way possible. Let's meet in homes, show hospitality, and do the Acts 2 thing, right? Where we have all things in common, and we're be people that are selling our possessions and property, distributing proceeds to the needy, devoting ourselves together in God's word, breaking bread from house to house, just like they did in Acts, right? So we did. We ate food with joyful, sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of people. And in Acts, it says, every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. And praise God, we had some people in our own midst that got saved last year that put their faith in Jesus. We had five people that got baptized and seven that gave their lives to Jesus. And that's really, really cool. We got to do that. And you guys were all a part of that. Whether it's little kids that you ministered to, and me and Tim's family, or people that we had met along the way that came just through relationships for us, inviting them to church and growing in faith. It was really cool. And then we finished out the year. We've been kind of going with this idea of transformed, becoming a new creation in Christ. And it started at the end of chapter 2, and it's carried us all along the way, all the way to we're at chapter 7 now. And it's been an amazing journey to see what God's done. We learned that if anyone is in Christ, behold, they're a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. And how, as believers, we're given a new identity in Christ the moment we put our faith in him. That it's not about the life we lived before. There's no condemnation, therefore, the word says. We're new, okay? The old has passed away. And then we learned about this new identity, okay? Chapter 2 talks about this idea that we go from people that were all about ourselves to people that are now spreading the fragrance of Christ among those who are perishing, among those who are living. And how that's always triumph. It's always victory when we live out this new identity that God's given us as ambassadors for Christ. We talked about that all through chapter 5 and 6, that we have an ambassador identity, an ambassador for Christ, where we go into all of the world and tell people that there's a king that we just learned about at Christmas, right? A king, the king of all kings that came to die for us. And this king is overall, he's in the beginning, he created everything that ever existed. He was in the beginning, and he's came in the form of Jesus and took on human flesh, dwelled among us, served the people that he came to live with, served them, even to the point of death on the cross, humbled himself, and died the death that we rightfully deserve to die because of our sin. This king came, and he's saying, there's a new dichotomy now. If you put your faith in me, the kingdom's here. If you believe in me, come to my side. Go away, go from being an enemy of God to being a friend of God, a child of God. You can be with me. And not just for a short period of time, but forever, right? And we have the job now of people that were once on the enemy side, and that because of nothing we did, have now been adopted as sons and daughters of God to go and tell and to go and share. And it's always going to be triumph when we do, because God's glorified and honored. And so we're to go to the ends of the earth to all the people who haven't heard about the king coming and to share this news, right? And in the meantime, there's going to be hardship. We have bodies that are old and they're dying. In chapter 5, it talks about that we have bodies that are jars of clay. They're just like jars of clay. They're being given over to death. They're constantly being destroyed. They're things that, vessels for use, good use, right? Like there's important stuff on the inside of us. It's our spirit. It's the Spirit of God renewing us on the inside day by day as our outside wastes away. And there's a purpose in it all that's bigger than just staying alive at all costs, right? We weren't put here just to stay alive at all costs. We're put here for what God put inside of us, which is the Spirit, to give to others this fragrance of Christ so that they can know the truth. Because for us, whether we waste away on the outside or whether we continue, God has the same plan. We have the same destination. We have the same guarantee of inheritance one day. We're going to be in heaven, right? And that's why he compared us not just to jars of clay that waste away, but in chapter 5, he also compares us in chapter 6 to tents that are temporary. We have temporary homes, temporary bodies that are affected by the surroundings around us. They're temporary. Why? Because we're pilgrims in this world, passing through, getting to heaven, our homeland, our destination, our true home that we're created for. And in the meantime, we go and we tell and we live out this job as ambassadors for Christ. 2020 for me was a lot about, I don't know for you if it was the same, but it was about getting my house in order. In a lot of ways, like because I had to be at home all the time, I had to deal with a lot of the problems and issues that I had been too busy to kind of deal with, right? And it was a good time for me. And I, looking back, God really allowed me to focus in and hone in on some things that we had been putting off. Like for instance, adoption. That was something that God had put on our heart for 6 years, and God allowed us just to kind of walk in that and really pursue that and get the paperwork done and get our home ready in a way that we wouldn't have had time to do if 2020 didn't happen. And so I'm so thankful that God added to our family this year, and we got to do that, and that we got to have more family time. I got to organize my house and be productive. And you guys probably all have some kind of similar story, right? Where what the enemy meant for good, God produced something good out of it, right? And for what we thought would be a devastating blow, it actually God worked something new. Like he worked all things together to those who are called for his purpose. He worked things for the good, right? And these moments, this moment tonight is all about us looking back and remembering how God worked in us and prepared us for these moments we would live out. And all of the glory he got to receive through our lives this year. Not just hourly, but in our hearts and in our thoughts and in our prayer life and how we lived, right? And so, man, it was for sure true what we started in the beginning. 2 Corinthians 1:3-7. I'm going to read this, but think it to yourself. Tell God this. Blessed be the God and Father. When he says blessed, he's saying thank you. Thank you, God. I'm grateful to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. He's so merciful to us this year, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it's for your comfort and your salvation. If your comfort is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you also share in our comfort. So when I enter a time of response, and just remember what we learned at the beginning of the year, but also at the beginning of our time tonight, God has two purposes for us in trials and affliction. Number one, just for us to know him better. And that's something really to thank him for this year. That we got to experience the comfort of God in a way that so many of us have never got to experience. That God in his love said, I want you to have all of me, not just some of me. I'm gonna take you through something that's really hard, but because of the hope I've given you and I've placed inside of you through the Spirit of God, you're gonna be able to endure it. You're not just gonna be able to endure it and get through it and get to the other side of it and say, whew, hopefully that won't ever happen again. That you could be a person that's prepared for more. You're a person that's prepared to be a vessel of God that can display the comfort of God to people in a way that so many people on this earth can't. He had a purpose for it, for us to know him better, but then also to share that comfort with others. And in this year in 2021, what's gonna happen, guys, is people are gonna start getting out of their homes. People aren't gonna hide, most likely this year. I'm not a prophet, but I'm guessing. Things are gonna change. People are gonna get back to normal. And we're gonna start living lives, and we're gonna have so many opportunities to take the things that God's done this year and spread it. Spread it to others. There's people that need to hear the truth. There's people that spent all year in fear of death, that spent all year in fear of their circumstance, and they don't know that there's a king that's come to bring a kingdom where none of that will ever happen for all of eternity, that all of that's gonna be changed, it's all gonna be righted if they can turn from their sin and quit being enemies of God and turn to God's side. They need to know it, and we've been equipped this year with the gospel to share it in so many ways. And we're gonna have so many opportunities. And so as we enter 2021, we need to be prayerfully considering all the ways that God's gonna give us opportunities to serve this community in Montevallo and serve our neighbors at work and serve the community around us. And ultimately spread this gospel explicitly, not just in a haphazard way, not just in a surface, and explicitly share the gospel. Leverage our lives to be the ambassadors God calls us to be. We're gonna have these opportunities to not waste our trials this year. Don't waste it. God did something amazing. Let's spend some time here in a minute singing and thanking him for those things. And then asking him to allow us to sacrifice our lives on the altar of his glory. Give our lives to the truth that he's called us to share. And it's gonna be neat to see what God does in 2021. So in a minute, we're gonna begin this response time just by giving our tithes and offerings. And that's just an opportunity we get every week to say, God, this really important God in our life that we rely on more than you sometimes. I'm saying, like, I wanna give it. I'm gonna give it to you. I'm gonna give it to your work. I'm gonna give it to your mission. I'm gonna give it to what I've been called to do. Because I believe you're more powerful than this, right? We get a chance to do that. And as a way to say, God, I'm so grateful for the way you comfort me all the time. And you take care of me. I want to spread this forward. I want to thank you and acknowledge my trust in you. So we get a chance to do that, and then we're gonna sing and just worship uninhibited. So let me pray for that time, and then we'll get going on it. God, we're grateful. We're so grateful. Lord, we don't deserve your protection. Yet we all sit here well and healthy. We don't deserve the extras in our life, yet we sit here all with extravagant gifts from you, of homes and possessions and vehicles and luxury and everything we want at the tip of our fingers with a click of a button in seconds, so many of us. You're a faithful God, and you're so kind, and you're so merciful, and you're so graceful. Lord, just the fact that we get to have a relationship with you and have hope because of your son, Jesus, and what he did on the cross, Lord, is amazing. We're grateful for your work on the cross that allows us to have hope, that we don't have to be people that feared the circumstance of life. There were people that don't have to fear death, the big enemy that everybody fears in this world. And that not only do we not have to fear death, we have something great to hope in. We have this hope of heaven, the hope of new bodies that don't suffer and decay and that don't experience sickness and aren't afflicted with the curse of sin. We long for those bodies, Lord. We long for those bodies that can be pure and in your presence so that we can know you fully for all of eternity, grow to know you more and more and more. We long for you to come back quick. You're the answer to all of the 2020 stuff and all the 2021 stuff and all of the years to follow. You're the answer to all of it. Come quickly. And in the meantime, Lord, we want to be people that sacrifice our lives on the altar of your glory, and we shine our light and spread your fragrance to a world that needs to hear it, hear the gospel. They need to see your light and experience you. Change us in these moments, Lord. We're grateful for all that you've done. Be with our offering, and may it reflect your glory. May it be an adequate gift. May it be our best gift, not just the leftovers. We love you. And we give and sing. In your name we pray. Amen. As they go around and collect, just focus on God, and we'll sing in a minute.